The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
Israeli forces have recovered the bodies of two Israeli-Americans who were held captive following the attacks on 7th October. Their bodies were found in southern Gaza. There's now said to be 56 hostages still being held by Hamas in Gaza. The recovery comes following new reports revealing the rate of young children suffering from acute malnutrition in the area has nearly tripled since the ceasefire. Gershon Baskin is with us. He's a former Israeli hostage negotiator and he joins me on the line. Gershon, to what extent do you read the recovery of these two bodies as simple coincidence, or to what extent is it a tactic or a strategic choice by Hamas?
No, these two bodies were recovered from Israeli intelligence information gotten from prisoners who were taken from Gaza into Israel and interrogated by the Israeli security forces. That's where the location of the bodies was discovered, and a military operation was sent to go there. It seems that the recovery of more bodies is possible, but it's very unlikely that the military pressure will be able to recover live hostages. And this is the biggest danger. There are estimated to be more than 20 of the 56 hostages remaining who are still alive. And every day that they're in Gaza is a risk to them. If the Israeli forces do come close to where they might be held, probably in tunnels underground or bunkers, they're likely to be executed, as we already saw happen months ago with six young Israeli hostages who were executed as the Israeli army was approaching. There is no military solution for Israel in this conflict. Dealing with Hamas, it has to be brought to the political level now and the regional level in order to determine the future of Gaza without Hamas.
How has that been progressing? Because we have seen both sides say that they have agreed to deals while simultaneously saying the other side has reneged. It doesn't seem like much in the way of progress is happening.
No, the talks are completely stalled. Both sides say that they agree in order to put pressure on the other side. It's part of the tactics of negotiations. In reality, the primary issue that we're facing is a Hamas demand that there be a permanent ceasefire. They are willing to release all the remaining hostages, 56 of them today, but they are demanding that there be a permanent ceasefire and a significant increase in humanitarian aid and a prisoner release by Israel of Palestinian prisoners. Now, Israel wants a temporary ceasefire that would release some of the hostages, but is not willing to agree to the end of the war, and this is where we're stuck. The mediators cannot get an Israeli agreement to end the war. Hamas will not agree to a deal that doesn't guarantee the end of the war. They are now demanding U.S. guarantees that even if there's a temporary ceasefire and a partial release of hostages, at the end, the United States will force Israel into a permanent ceasefire. The U.S. is not willing to do that. And Israel is not willing to accept that.
As you read it, is the ultimate Israeli objective actually the complete eradication of Gaza and those who live within it?
Well, they've eradicated most of Gaza. I mean, there's still 2 million people living there, more than 2 million people who are homeless today. Gaza has been destroyed. There's no infrastructure. There's no water. There's no roads. There's no electricity. There are no schools. There's no universities, no public buildings, no health clinics. The hospitals have been vastly destroyed. Gaza is erased and needs to be completely rebuilt. Israel cannot eradicate Hamas through military means, and Hamas will never surrender. But I believe that there's a very strong desire from the people of Gaza that they don't want Hamas anymore. I think that the support for Hamas in the West Bank is on the decline. The best way to ensure that Hamas is no longer a part of Palestinian political life and governance is through the ballot box. Palestinians need to go to elections. They need to decide who they want to rule them. I hope that from the lessons of the past 18, 19 months, that they will decide that political parties that support an armed struggle cannot even participate in the elections, because you can't have one sovereign and multiple guns. You can't have a state that has militia within it. And the Palestinians need to come to that conclusion themselves. But it's through the ballot box that we can get to, that they can get rid of Hamas and create unity amongst themselves, hopefully with a look forward to recognizing that they have to make peace with Israel. And hopefully soon we will change our government in Israel and bring in a government that's willing to consider the possibility of negotiating peace with the Palestinians.
If what you describe happens and you do get a rebuilt Gaza and you get democratic elections, on whom will it fall to do the rebuilding?
Well, first of all, you have a lot of Palestinians who are very talented and educated and need jobs, and everyone in Gaza will be willing to work to rebuild Gaza if there's financial support to do it, and that's a very big if. No one is going to put money into the reconstruction of Gaza if there's a belief that it's just going to be destroyed again in another few years. So in order for that to happen, there needs to be a different government leading Palestine toward peace. And this, the Arab states like Saudi Arabia, the United Arab Emirates, Bahrain, even the Qataris themselves are saying, if the situation is going to continue, why put money into Gaza? So there are political conditions that are necessary. And of course, we need to be on the track leading us toward peace so that Gaza won't be destroyed again and that it won't be ruled by groups that are dedicated to the destruction and erasure of Israel.
Between now and then, obviously, we are in the midst of an ever-worsening humanitarian crisis. Recent figures showing that the number of young children suffering from acute malnutrition in Gaza has nearly tripled since the last ceasefire. The Israeli response to that, the international pressure that is coming on, is there any softening of attitudes in terms of the humanitarian response?
The big fear in Israel is that the aid going into Gaza would be stolen by Hamas and then sold and refund Hamas's ability to hire new soldiers and buy new guns and et cetera. So the Israelis are now more open to allowing aid to get in. They're trying to create structures for doing that. They don't seem to be working very well. They need to be significantly increased and improved. This is a humanitarian disaster that everyone in the world should be looking at and saying, we can't allow this to happen. Certainly, we Israelis should not allow our government to starve more than 2 million people in Gaza. This is something which is totally unacceptable. And us as Jews in particular, who have experienced thousands of years of persecution, should understand this better than anyone else.
You've written yourself extensively about the role of the US in all of this. Presumably it is the US and US pressure that ultimately brings things to a head.
Right. Well, there is a hope that President Trump, who declared that he will end wars, will tell Prime Minister Netanyahu to end the war and make a deal with Hamas already. The people that I've spoken to, both on the American side and the other mediators in Qatar and Egypt, don't think that that's likely to happen. Unfortunately, the U.S. just vetoed a Security Council resolution calling for a ceasefire. 14 other member states of the Security Council voted in favor of it. The U.S. claim is that the resolution did not call on Hamas to drop its arms and leave Gaza, which is a reasonable demand, but it's not going to happen as well. So I'm not sure we can depend on American pressure here. What is happening inside of Israel is interesting because Netanyahu may be soon losing his coalition over the issue of the draft law for the ultra-Orthodox who have been not drafted into the army all these years, and the army needs more soldiers. And I understand that next week they're sending out 55,000 draft notices to ultra-Orthodox young men who are eligible to serve and until now have been relieved of military duty.
And why will that be so significant?
Because the ultra-Orthodox parties are saying they're going to bolt the coalition and call for new elections. Because Netanyahu promised them that he would pass a law that would essentially give them a deferment from the army and allow them to stay in their institutions of learning, the yeshivas, and not be drafted into the army. But Netanyahu doesn't even have support for that within his own political party. There are people who are opposed to it. And the army is saying very directly that we need more soldiers. This war has cost us a lot of lives. Reserve duty soldiers in Israel have done 300, 400 days of service already. The reserve army, which is the core of the Israeli army, is crashing now under the weight of needing to continue to serve for so many days. So there's a lot of pressure on Netanyahu now, and he may be without an answer to these ultra-Orthodox parties who are saying they're going to vote for new elections.
Gershon, thank you very much for your time this morning. That's Gershon Baskin, former Israeli hostage negotiator.
My pleasure. Take care.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance.
Weekdays at 9 a.m. on News Talk.